Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. We are truly grateful that you have chosen to worship with us on Easter Sunday. We especially welcome all of our visitors who have come to celebrate this special day with us. If you are interested in finding a new church home, please speak with our pastor or one of our elders. Please sign the attendance registers at the end of each pew and pass it down the row to the next person. The scripture reading for this week are printed on the back of the prayer list. There is a sign-up sheet for Easter lilies in Narthex. The cost will be $10, with some of the proceeds going to the Smithfield Food Pantry. Congratulations to Hunter Bell for competing in state and debate.
Thank you.
call to worship. Lift up our eyes and see.
The God of heaven and earth welcomes us here.
Open your minds and trust.
God's protective help is everywhere.
Lift your hearts and believe.
God so loves the world that all can be saved.
Let us pray. Sheltering God, hold us close to your heart as we worship and pray. Be the shade of our right hand, protecting us from the glare of confusion and the heat of temptation. Be our steady guide as we come into this scared time of worship and reflection, that we may hear and understand you, word, in our lives. Be our strong support as we go out into the world, that we may be a blessing for the people of this earth. Amen. Our opening hymn number is 501 in the Graham Hymnal, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Left behind the world of home and work and school, the world where we have our lists of things to do, activities in which we participate, tasks to complete. We come here this morning seeking something else. We come here seeking a shift from the ordinary to the sacred, from doing to being. I invite you to close your eyes. Let go of your list. Recall that it is the season of Lent. Remember the stories of Peter the disciple? Some of them are full of faith. Some are full of self. In this season of Lent, God calls to us in a low, urgent voice. Listen. When have you chosen your own way? When have you let Jesus lead you? Jesus is being drawn to Jerusalem. Where is God calling you to? What is God calling you to do? as we extinguish this light, we acknowledge those times when we have chosen our own way and not the way of discipleship. Let us all pray together. Loving God, as we journey through this holy season of Lent, may we be open to your presence. Give us the strength to follow you wherever you lead us and the courage to live as your people. Amen.
As the children come forward to visit with Dr. David.
All right. Now, you all might think that I'm wearing a preaching robe here, but I'm not. Actually, when people used to see this robe, they'd say, "There goes the preacher." Now they say, "There goes Harry Potter." But what this really is my play games with the kids robe. Today we're going to play a game you all know. They're looking a little skeptical. We're going to play Simon Says. You know how to do that? See, let me tell you, in case you forgot, I say Simon Says do something and you do it. But if I don't say Simon Says and tell you to do something, you don't do it. And if you do do it, then you're out. Okay, everybody got it? Simon Says, now wait a minute before we start. I have to tell you that only kids do this game right. Simon Says, look at the congregation. Those people back there. Simon Says, define your terms. You see, they can't play Simon Says unless you do something like Simon Says, take a nap. And then they're good. But we're going to play it right. Okay, Simon Says, stand up. All right. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, let go of your nose. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, let go of your nose. Simon Says, touch your nose. Let go of your nose. Ah! Okay. Simon Says, everybody stand up whether you're out or not. All right. Simon Says, stand on one foot. Simon Says, hop up and down. Hop up and down. No, now you got to stop. See, okay, got almost all of it. All right, Simon Says, cover your eyes. Simon Says, cover your nose. Simon Says, cover your tummy. Simon Says, cover your tummy. All right. We've got everybody here one way or another, so we're going to change the game a little bit. All right? Okay. Simon Says, sit down. Now we're going to change the game to Jesus Says. And here's how you play that. Jesus, now you ready? Listen close. Jesus says, love one another. We had a couple of them kind of move closer here. That's good. That's really good. Jesus says, we're going to try it again. Jesus says, share with the poor. Okay, now everybody's confused. Well, when the offering goes around, people have a chance to do that. But here's the great thing about Jesus says, you're never out. Because if Jesus says do something and today you don't do it, tomorrow you can give it another chance. Now, love one another is not like jumping up and down, right? It's a little bit harder because you got to figure out how to do that. But what you need to remember is Jesus says, love one another, share with the poor, love God, pray every day, but you're never out. You always get a chance to start over. Okay? So, if you go home and somebody asks you, what did you do in church today? You said, we played a game. What was the game? Simon says, Satan. Jesus says, there we go. All right. Simon says, remember that. Simon says, bow your heads. Gracious Lord, help us to follow you in whatever we do and know that you will forgive us and let us start over and try again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simon says, go back to your seats.
Let us pray again. God of ages past and days to come, open our hearts to the message of your love. Bless us with your truth and wisdom, that we might be a blessing to others, revealing your promises to the world in our words and actions. Blow through our lives with your Spirit, that we may be born anew, enlivened to blow through the world with love and faith for all to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning, and we will be reading through a series of, we will be reading through the story in Luke chapter 22. We're going to begin this morning with verse 24. I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. A dispute also arose among them. This is at the Last Supper. This is after Jesus has instituted the supper and they're at table. And as they sit at table after having received the cup and the bread, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are given the title benefactor. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is hymn number 283 in the green hymnal, "Were You There?" Please stand.
Mm-hmm.
I volunteered to preach today because Jane was taking a class this week, and I thought if she did not have to worry about a sermon, she would be free to concentrate on the class, and I would be free not to listen to her worry about the sermon. So she came up to me right before the service started and said, "Simon says do the children's sermon," which I thought was cheating. But here I am. The second lesson from the Gospel of Luke, we skip ahead a little bit to the point where Jesus has been arrested. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. May the Lord bless to our understanding this reading from God's word. A certain man found himself in difficult circumstances and went into a church to pray for help. At this point, I'm not going to say stop me if you've heard this, because you can't. So if you have heard this, please wait to laugh and tell the punchline. "Lord," the man said, "I am out of money. I can't pay my bills. I can't afford my rent. I can't even buy food. Please let me win the lottery." Well, a week later he was back. "Lord, I didn't win. This week I'm worse off than I was. Please, please let me win the lottery." Another week passed. He was back again. "Lord, I'm desperate. I don't know what to do. Please let me win the lottery." And there came a great voice from above, said, "Fred, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket." Now, this Lent, the sermons and the liturgy at this church center around the people who are at the foot of the cross, at least some of them. Today I'm going to turn that around. I want to consider who wasn't at the cross. Now the disciples in particular, the ones that Jesus had chosen and called and taught, weren't at the cross except for John. Judas had already killed himself. And the other 10 were nowhere to be found, including Peter, the one who said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And I am sure when he said that he meant it. And he almost made it. Of the 10, Peter was the only one who got into the temple courtyard. But then, when the crisis came, Peter wasn't there. He wasn't able to meet God halfway in spite of his intentions. Now we can learn from that. We can learn what it really means to be a disciple. Now, if you want to become a disciple, you have to realize right up front that you can't be a disciple. You can't just be a disciple, because if you're a disciple, you're a disciple of someone. The disciples are followers. Disciples are students. You can be a disciple of Mohammed or Sigmund Freud or Vince Lombardi or whoever, but you can't be a disciple without naming somebody. So, suppose you want to be a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth. How do you do that? Well, it's very simple. You let Jesus teach you. You follow Jesus. It's like games children play. We already saw one of them. We already played Jesus Says. But there's another game that disciples play, and it's one you all have played. It's follow the leader. Now, Simon Peter was a disciple. Simon Peter played follow the leader when Jesus came to him at first and said, "Come with me. From now on, you're going to be catching people." Peter followed the leader. But on one particular occasion, when Jesus and all the disciples had traveled quite a way, they went up north to a region called Caesarea Philippi, which was out of Galilee entirely. It's as far away from home as Jesus ever got. On that particular occasion, Peter stopped following Jesus and tried to take the lead. Jesus had said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter had said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you." But then Jesus told his disciples that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and be killed. And Peter attempted to talk him out of it. He said, "God forbid it. This must never happen to you." Now again, doubtless Peter's intentions were good. Doubtless Jesus' death would be a tragedy beyond imagining for him. And doubtless Peter was doing what any good disciple would do, trying to protect the life of the master. But Peter was no longer following at that point. He was trying to lead. And so Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And those words were harsh, but they were the right words, because Peter's job as a disciple was to follow the leader and not lead the leader. Well, that didn't mean that Peter was not supposed to lead anybody anytime. He was going to lead. He was called to lead. He just was not called to lead the leader. And so on that horrible night, the night that Jesus was going to be arrested and tried and sentenced to death, Peter thought he knew something about following. And he said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." But it was not so. And Jesus knew it was not so. And Jesus told Peter what was going to happen. But then Jesus gave Peter a command. He said,
I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So, disciples play follow the leader. And there's another game that they play. Lead the followers. That's how disciples make disciples. All of you are here because somebody agreed to lead the followers. Now, Peter's failure, his denial of Jesus, didn't mean that he wasn't a disciple anymore, because disciples do fail. They fail a lot. But their failures can mean something. Failure is a great teacher. The best lessons you have learned in life have come from your failures and not your successes. Now, these lessons are unpleasant. You don't like to think about it. But you haven't forgotten them. And they can make you stronger and make other people stronger. Now, the church is not divided into leaders and followers. Everybody's a follower of Jesus Christ. Everybody. And therefore, everybody is a leader in some way of some of the followers. Now, there are many ways you can do that. Sunday school teachers, parents, caregivers, volunteers, the people who show up when you need somebody. They all become leaders because they are doing their best to follow Christ. And the one thing they have in common is this: their leading is a strengthening. It is not dominating or intimidating or coercing or browbeating or manipulating. It is strengthening. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And in that way, the followers become leaders. So St. Peter followed the leader, and then he tried to lead the leader, and he was rebuked. And then he failed the leader and denied him. But finally, he fell into place behind the leader and became a leader himself. It took a while. There were false starts, and there were failures, and there were stumblings. But every time for Peter, there was renewal. There was recommitment. There was a chance to start again and get it right. And finally, there was leading and strengthening. And so, when you read about Peter in the book of Acts, after Jesus' resurrection, you read about a very different person than the Peter who left his nets to follow Jesus. He was stronger. He was courageous. He was bold. And his differences arose because of his failures and his setbacks and his weaknesses. And that's the life of a disciple. It's not perfection. It is not nonstop holiness. It is the sequence of games that disciples play. Follow the leader. Fail the leader. Learn and start over. And lead the followers. Now, in order to do that, you have to show up. None of us are better than Peter. Most of us aren't as good. But the measure of a disciple is not found in better or as good. The measure of a disciple is the willingness to show up, to start over, to try again. When you think about it, major difference, the only difference really between Peter and Judas, is that Judas despaired and Peter tried again. Judas went out and hanged himself. Peter went out and wept. And that made him a disciple. Now, I teach classes in spirituality at Austin Seminary, and I always make my students read the Rule of Saint Benedict, the 6th century saint who wrote how to run a monastery. That's the Rule of Saint Benedict. And I read it because it's important in the history of spirituality, but I also ask my students to read it so that they will read one single sentence. A few pages in, Saint Benedict starts talking about what he calls the instruments of good works, in which he warns against various transgressions: overeating, drinking too much wine, sleepiness, laziness, complaining, idle talk, raucous laughter, and of course the desires of the flesh. He's against all that. And finally, after this two-page list, he says, "And never despair of God's mercy." And that single sentence is the key to the Christian life. The life of following Jesus, failing Jesus, trying again, and leading the followers of Jesus is only possible because God's mercy is more than a hope, it's more than a promise, it is a reality. Never despair of God's mercy. Now that means there's a reason to show up. God knows we're not perfect. God knows we will fail. God knows that our actions will seldom live up to our intentions. God knows that we will try to lead the leader rather than to follow the leader. God knows that all too often we will fail the leader rather than follow the leader. And God has planned for all of that. But we have to meet God halfway. We have to show up. Now, Woody Allen is said to have said that 80% of success is showing up. Well, if you want to be a disciple and not just a success, the percentage is even higher. 100% of success for a disciple is showing up. Show up at the foot of the cross, wherever in your life that cross might be. Show up at the church, at the hospital, in the classroom, in your own home. Show up where you are needed. Show up where there is too much pain and not enough love. Show up. Be there. Be a disciple. Meet God halfway. And now, let us say together what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it in the blue hymnal on page 14. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and this morning, as our prayers of the people are offered, We have received him, particularly considering the circumstances of the people in Japan, but it speaks to circumstances throughout the world. And when the choir is finished singing this hymn, we will close with the Lord's Prayer.
As God has blessed us, remember that our blessings come so that we might bless others. Let us share this promise as we open our hearts and share our abundance with the world in need of God's blessings. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
bless these gifts, even as you bless our lives, O God. Through our offerings of time, talent, and wealth, may your name be made great in the world. May your blessings be shared with all in need, and may Christ's saving love be revealed to all the ends of the earth. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 434, If Christ Had Not Been Raised from Death.